This is the Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
Look, we're going to shake things up.
On Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT.
I don't think we're asking the right question. I think the question we should be asking is, do you believe in this thing or not?
The Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
What do you mean? Of course martial arts training is relevant.
Now your hosts.
Let me save you some time. Get comfortable.
WSBT Radio's Sean Steyer.
Let's get started.
And former Irish quarterback, Evan Sharpley.
We are at the crossroads of all the sports converging right now. We're, of course, in the thick of a college football playoff hunt for the Notre Dame football team with Senior Day coming up tomorrow and some added drama. In case you haven't heard, John Hoffman just mentioned it. Ian Book, Brandon Wimbush, we'll get to that. What's the team going to be wearing tomorrow? We'll touch on that as well. Have you seen the video?
They're wearing red jerseys tomorrow?
That's what I hear. Red. Oh. Yeah.
Nobody
they're going to go really
hit?
Crazy.
All right. Yeah,
right.
I saw.
No hands.
I saw the video.
That's right.
I saw it.
The Notre Dame men have played two different games this week. They beat Chicago State last night. Darren Pritchett had the call filling in for Jack Nolan, who was with, of course, Brian Kelly on the Brian Kelly radio show. Last Brian Kelly radio show of the season. That was on Z94.3 last night. So Notre Dame men are 2-0. The women begin defense of their national championship this afternoon at 4 o'clock, an earlier start time than usual. So you can get to the women's basketball game, and then I assume still the pep rally and all that kind of stuff and all that going on. They're going to raise the national championship banner actually next week, but it is Notre Dame and Harvard tonight. Marina Mabry, the notable absence for the Notre Dame women tonight, she's out with a quad injury, apparently, taking it easy a little bit at the start of the season, so she won't be there. So that is that, but of course some pretty big news that's just popped up in a little bit more than, the last 30 hours or so with the quarterback situation at Notre Dame. And we shall jump right into that right now. Are you
ready?
Shall we? All right. Of course, we'll remind you first that we're brought to you by Sharpley Training. With us, you can be a champion. Call today, complimentary class, 574-226-8234. Visit sharpleytraining.com. Search any of the social media platforms for Sharpley Training and you'll find out. I'll go ahead and do all the official stuff actually here real quick first, Evan. Game time tomorrow, 7:30 kickoff. It'll probably actually be closer to 7:40. I just saw Tyler James from the Tribune tweet that Senior Day, the senior stuff is supposed to start at around 7:24, so there's no way it's actually 7:30 kickoff. But in any case,
great.
You'll hear it here on 96.1. That's right. Night game, cold, everything else. 2 o'clock tomorrow, a replay of the Brian Kelly radio show. 3 o'clock, game day sports beat with Evan Sharpley, Tim Growl on the DL this week.
He
just had shoulder surgery.
Yes.
So he will not be there with you tomorrow, I assume.
Yeah, they figured that if he was hopped up on pain meds that he shouldn't be on the radio.
Probably a good call.
What fun is that then?
I know. I mean, isn't that what pain meds are for?
Hey, this is Tim McGraw for WSBT, live from Ivy Court.
That's right. So John Hoffman and Vince D'Addario will be over there helping you out, I'm sure, on location at Ivy Court Inn
and
Suites.
We should have a pretty good show, too, that Tim lined up for us.
I would imagine. I'm looking at the guest list right now. You've got Mark Edwards.
Yes.
Of course, fullback for the Irish and in the NFL as well. The starting quarterback for the 1993 win over number one Florida State, Kevin McDougal, will be there, and also former Fighting Irish receiver Bobby Brown.
Yeah, Bobby's going to be kind of my co-host sidekick for this shindig.
That's your prerogative.
Well, I'll have to reel him in, usually.
I was referencing the other Bobby Brown.
Oh.
4 o'clock.
Whew! All right. All right. Yep, got it.
All right.
We're on the same page now.
Okay, here we go. 4 o'clock game day sports beat, Budweiser's game day sports beat with Darren Pritchett, Eric Hansen, and I. The ND tailgate show comes your way at 6:30, kickoff at 7:30. And then, of course, Reggie Brooks and I have the post-game show afterwards. That's all going on tomorrow. So let's get to business, though. The first report came out yesterday, first reported by Irish Sports daily, and I saw they got credit on ESPN even this morning. But Ian Book, injured. He will reportedly miss tomorrow's game against Florida State with an injury to his ribs and back. He suffered the injury, at least we think so, in the first quarter against Northwestern. Do you remember seeing him take that hit?
Yeah, he kind of got up a little weird. I remember, and he kind of shook his – it was almost like a shoulder, but obviously he got – you know, I think he kind of fell weird, and they're saying he kind of got like a knee.
Well, and that's what I thought, that at first it was a shoulder just the way – because he was kind of like favoring it and kind of dangling it a little bit. So I went back, and I've got the game on the DVR, and I found that play. So it, the situation, 3rd-and-11 for the Irish. They're at their own 49, 9:27 to go in the first quarter. And Book drops back. He looks left for a couple of beats, and then he takes off running to his right, and he goes head first. And really it wasn't as much a hit as it was the cornerback is there, and as he's diving, essentially his ribs kind of go into the guy's knee.
Right.
And that looks like the hit that took it, because then, as you said, he gets up, he's favoring his side and all that, and Todd Blackledge is saying, oh, man, maybe it's a stinger. Whatever, but it sounds like it's a lot more than a stinger. To his credit, though, I mean, he stayed in and he played the whole game with that and what happens going forward. So Brian Kelly asked about it last night after practice, and also asked about it on his radio show with Jack Nolan afterwards at 7 o'clock last night at O'Rourke's. And at the press conference, he essentially said day-to-day and wouldn't commit as to whether or not it would be Book or Wimbush. And so, of course, it came up right away at the Brian Kelly radio show. And now, he elaborated a little bit more and talked about some other things, but not necessarily on the status. So we'll let you take a listen right now.
Well, he's got an upper body injury, and he's day-to-day. So we've prepared Phil and Brandon in case he can't go. We got plenty of quarterbacks. So we've got to be prepared for all situations. But, again, you know, we're very lucky and very fortunate that we've got a guy like Brandon. If we've got a call upon him, he's ready to go, and he'll lead us to victory.
I've been impressed. Obviously, Brandon got a lot of first-team work this week. I love the way he's thrown the football this week. I thought his deep passes, intermediate passes, which he's always been good at, were exceptional. And his short passes, that's always going to be a place that he has to work hard at, but I thought those were a little better as well.
Yeah, well, you know, when you get an opportunity like he has over the last 6 weeks, you know, you take a competitor like him, and he's going to work on the things that he needs to get better at. You know, he wants to be the starting quarterback at Notre Dame. So he didn't go and take his seat on the bench. He took every single practice opportunity to work to get better, and that's why he's a remarkable young man. So when he got out there, he was a better version of Brandon Wimbush than he was earlier in the year. So that's there's a guy who's won 12 out of 15 games. And Notre Dame's fortunate to have a guy like him.
I mean, how often do you have a backup quarterback with his pedigree?
No, you don't. I mean, we're lucky to have a guy. Look, they had a guy at Clemson, and he left. You know, this guy had every reason to leave. He's got another year of eligibility. And what does he do? He stays at Notre Dame. And now there could be an opportunity where he needs to step in, and he's here for us. And, you know, there are other guys that decided to take their ball and go home. Not Brandon Wimbush. He's stuck here, and when we needed him, and we may need him on Saturday, he's here for Notre Dame. And those are the kind of guys we recruit.
Okay, so Brian Kelly with Jack Nolan last night on the Brian Kelly radio show. Let's go back to the first point first. He listed Ian Book as day-to-day. Do you think there's any way that Ian Book starts tomorrow?
Yeah.
You do?
I think, I mean, I wouldn't expect it to happen. He may play, depending on how the game goes. I mean, and how I look at it, too, is I'm not letting somebody else jog out there and be the starting quarterback. I mean, that's how I'd be wired. You know, I'm sure the discussion has been all week on, you know, the extent of the injury. What is it? They wanted to make sure there wasn't any internal issues, any kidney problems. And it seems like that's not the case. They wanted to make sure it wasn't going to lead to being necessarily broken ribs, because that could be a longer injury where you may lose him for the rest of the regular season. So I think that they're going about this the right way in making sure that they're not jeopardizing the next couple of weeks. But certainly you've got to win every game here to finish the year out. So, I would be hard-pressed. I wouldn't go out. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say he's a starter. I don't think that that's going to happen. I wouldn't be out of the question. I think he may play dependent upon how the game goes. And a lot of that's going to have to do with how Brandon Wimbush performs. But at the same time, like I said, if I'm a starting quarterback and I've won the job, I was given that opportunity early on in the season, I'm not giving that opportunity to anybody else. That would be my mindset.
Right.
But I know there are more. It's not just about him. It's going to be what's best for the team, and that I'm sure has been discussed between the coaching staff and players.
Well, and what you have is a backup quarterback who is 12-3. As a starter, 3-0 this year, has arguably not just the biggest win for Notre Dame this year over Michigan, but some would say the biggest win in the country now.
Let's be honest, the defense, they won that game.
No, but he still played a part in it offensively.
Did.
I mean, neither the offense nor the defense gave up the kickoff that made it closer than it would have been, and it seemed like, we talked about it at the time, the offense downshifted and kind of put it on the defense. They really didn't take a lot of chances in the second half because they didn't feel that Michigan's offense could come back and score a couple touchdowns.
No, that's true.
So, I mean, they kind of took the foot off the pedal a little bit. But he had a good rushing day. He had 77 yards on the ground with a sack. I think it knocked it down to like 59 or something like that. But, I mean, his legs played a big part in that game. The passing is obviously the biggest thing, though. We saw that the next couple of games. The next week against Ball State, 3 interceptions. And then another one against Vanderbilt the week after that. So, I mean, there just one touchdown and 4 interceptions in his 3 games. And there was an obvious reason that the change was made when you see the way how the offense has looked since then. So, Brian Kelly, Jack Nolan actually made the reference to being able to see Brandon Wimbush in practice this week, and he said that his deep and intermediate balls look better. Those were the things that were his strength anyway, and that the short passes were a little better. And it's the short passes that have been the bigger issue, obviously, for him.
Well, he's not going to say on air he was terrible. that would be very worrisome. That'd be a huge red flag. So, we don't know that. We don't know necessarily how. I mean, he's getting a whole bunch more reps, and it was just reported today. I mean, he was basically going from not getting any reps in practice to now, all of the 1 reps this week. And that's, it's hard to get better when you're not getting team reps. So, I wonder, as far as the development side is concerned, what Brandon Wimbush was doing to make sure that he was staying prepared physically. The mental side, you're much more in tune with the mental side because you're not getting the physical reps. So your film study hours usually go up a little bit. The mental reps that you're taking in practice, you're much more focused in making those calls and those reps. Same with the game. You're very tuned in from the mental standpoint. But the physical side, you've got to make sure that you're staying very active. And, my background, where I spent quite a bit of time as a backup quarterback, I made sure that I was getting meaningful reps, high effort reps post practice. And I mean, I'd stay sometimes and throw for 30 or 40 minutes after the practice ended to make sure that if I was going to be put in a, there were a couple of weeks where I would get maybe 6 reps with the team and then play 2 quarters. So you're talking about six, full team reps and then go play 2 quarters of football.
Well, and this is something that we've talked about before, though. That was the Charlie Weiss era, obviously.
But
the difference in how the reps are split.
It's not different. Wimbush, he's on record saying an article today that he did not get any reps last week.
Wow.
With the ones. The twos are not getting a lot of reps. So,
now, do you have to get them with the ones, or is it enough just to get reps?
It's different. You'd like to be throwing to the guys that you're going to throw to in the game if you're playing.
Yeah.
You'd like the guys that are blocking to be the ones that are blocking for you in the game. So it is a little bit different. And we don't know. I would be hard-pressed to tell you that midway through the year that they're going to be at 50-50 with their reps. I think maybe in fall camp, and early in the season when the coaching staff was saying we got to get a good look at both of these guys. But I guarantee you that shifted throughout the season.
Do you think, based on some of the things that we've seen from Ian Book on game day, that justifies even more reps for him because of the fact that we've seen, okay, hasn't always had the best first halves, but he's made good adjustments at halftime and then come out and looked really good in the second half. He's completing over 80% of his passes in the second half this season. Just the fact that they try to give him as many looks as possible during the week for all the different things that he could see to try to have him more prepared for that.
It helps his development. I mean, if you're the guy, you want all the reps.
Right.
I mean, when I played with Brady Quinn, he wasn't giving up any reps ever. He wanted those reps. Those were opportunities to get better. Those are opportunities to learn. He didn't want to be sitting on the sideline, staying on the sideline. And now you have a quarterback who's asserted himself as the number one guy. He's taken steps forward on Saturdays. A lot of that has to do, in my mind, with what he's, as far as how preparation has gone throughout the week. So it's an assumption. I guess I can't guarantee it, but I would assume that his rep count has gone up considerably, and that's that 50-50 split that we talked about in fall camp and early on has disappeared.
We'll talk more about Phil Jurkovec in a little bit, but he's also got more reps this week as a result.
He's a much more important person. He might be the most important player on the team this week.
Well, yeah, because as we've talked about also before, and as Darren has mentioned, the guy's been on the scout team most of the year. So, I mean, it's almost a crash course in some ways for him. Again, we'll get to more to Jurkovec in a little bit. But you heard Brian Kelly talk about how Brandon Wimbush has handled it. And he talked about the situation with Kelly Bryant at Clemson a few weeks back. When he got demoted, he transferred. And now the situation is a little bit different because that was right after four games. And so he gets to preserve this season from an eligibility standpoint. He can go transfer someplace else next year and play. Brandon Wimbush still has a year of eligibility, but he was going to have that regardless of what happened in this season because he's already taken a red shirt earlier. So, but just from a mental standpoint now, how has Brandon Wimbush handled that? And after practice last night before the Brian Kelly radio show, Brian Kelly answered that.
You got to look at it from his perspective. He's gotten plenty of time to think about not being the starter and what he needs to do, as the question was asked. And he's worked really hard on the things that he wants to be better at. He's an incredible competitor. And if he's given the opportunity, he wants to stay the starter. So he's gonna look back on all the things that he's done, and if he's given the opportunity, he'll play really well.
So there you go, Evan. So again, you've kind of dealt with this back and forth situation yourself in the past. So what do you think, Brandon? What do you think first of how Brandon Wimbush has handled this whole thing, and now, how do you sort of flip that as all of a sudden now you're potentially the guy again and you're going to play on Saturday?
He's been a model citizen on the sideline. He's done a great job. You know, he's controlled his emotions. He hasn't been a negative influence. We don't know maybe the behind the scenes, but when you're winning, you know, that helps everything. But I would say he's done a great job. It's a tough transition moving from being the guy to being the backup. And then it's probably doubly hard to then see the guy that took over for you have as much success as he's had. Ultimately, you want the team to win and you want the team to do well. But quarterbacks are very selfish, Sean. We're very selfish. And we want to be the guys that are out there helping our team win.
It's the one position where typically you're not going to be rotating reps. All the other positions, running back, receiver, defense, whatever it happens to be, sometimes offensive line. But, I mean, you can rotate reps at those positions, and for the most part, it's not a big thing. You start flipping around at quarterback, and it's a much different thing.
Yeah, and it's, you know, for him, you hope that he's stayed locked in. I mean, he looks like he has, but your hope is, because you're still always one play away when you're the backup quarterback, is that he has been doing these things that Kelly talked about. That would be, for Irish fans, that would be the hope, that he has stayed locked in, he stayed engaged, even with the success that Ian Book has had, and said, I've got to keep getting better, I've got to keep working too. Because there is a reason why a switch was made, correct?
Yeah.
So there would need to be steps taken forward, you know, for there to be some positive moves here in this game. And we'll see. Granted, What is nice is you're playing against a defense that's 120th in the nation against the pass.
Right.
I would be pumped up about that. I mean,
would have to think, but at the same time, it's not like Ball State and Vanderbilt were ranked
that
high either.
That's very true.
Yeah.
That is very true.
Just pragmatically noting that. So, okay, so Kelly was asked, he noted how Wimbush has kind of handled things since his demotion, and here's his response to that.
No question. I think, you know, when we got a chance to practice with the first group this week, everybody's supporting him. Everybody wants to see him succeed. And the great thing about it is that he doesn't have to be the star of this football team. He's got a much more mature group with Chase Claypool and Miles Boykin and Dexter Williams. Those guys weren't at the level that they are today. And a defense that's playing, you know, great football. So he just needs to go, you know, be a quarterback at Notre Dame and run the offense. He doesn't need to be the guy that wins the football game. He's got a great supporting cast.
Well, and he didn't have Dexter Williams at all.
No,
he
didn't
have
him
at all. The show.
And he didn't have these receivers playing at the level that they're playing at right now.
Now, those are all valid points, but I want to look at it from the other side of things, okay? Because, I mean, there are a lot of different teams you can look at and say, okay, yeah, the receivers are better now, or they're underperforming, or however you want to look at it, but doesn't the rise in production of the wide receivers coincide with the change at quarterback as well? Are they really that much better, or is it a matter of the way the ball was coming out differently? The way the obvious way, we talked about those short passes earlier, the obvious way the function of this offense is different now.
Yeah, let's not be distracted here. Ian Book's been the catalyst.
Because I think that group has always been pretty good, the receivers. But the ball comes out differently now. The quarterback puts the ball into smaller windows. He doesn't wait for a guy to get wide open. The ball is coming out before breaks and not as or after they're making breaks.
I mean, no doubt their confidence has grown immensely. But you're hitting all the same points that are floating through my head right now. Is the tempo changed when Ian Book was named the starting quarterback? The ball's getting out quicker. It's where it should be. And it hasn't just been the receiving group. You know, the tight end group has grown because of it. I think it's also helped the running back group too. And yes, when you get a guy like Dexter Williams back and he hits the ground running the way he did, that helps your offense. But it was rolling before that too. So, I mean, for me, Ian Book has been the game changer for this offense as far as how Chip Kelly wants to run it, the pace, the style of play call, all of those things. Has it been perfect? No, but 75% completion percentage is very, very good. and that's what Chip Kelly wants out of this style of offense.
It went from 55% incrementally getting better to 55% to 75%, and not just 75%, leading the nation at 75%. There's a difference there.
Yeah. And I think that's why right now it's kind of a collective Irish fans holding their breath for what the passing game is going to look like Saturday.
So now there are a lot of different questions that come with if Brandon Wimbush is the starter tomorrow. Does the function of the offense look different?
What kind of progress has he made? I think it should.
We're going to take a break, and then we're going to get into all of that.
Let's do that.
Coming up next.
All right.
Little tease. 24 minutes after 12 o'clock, Sean and Sharpley in the Leprechaun Lunch on 96.1 WSBT. We're brought to you, of course, presented by Sharpley Training. Also brought to you by McCree's Italian Bakery for your tailgating needs and Carmella's at McCree's, your post-game dining. Kurt Outdoor Living, make plans now to transform your backyard into an oasis with the experts at Kurt Outdoor Living. By Leck Leitner Door, they open all the right doors, residential, commercial, and agricultural. Call 295-6311. The Food Bank of Northern Indiana. Together we can solve hunger. Learn more at feedindiana.org. By Zolman's Tire and Auto Care. Voted the best tire store 2 years in a row. And by Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing. Contact Eric Yetterberg in South Bend or Matt Stamm in Osceola. And Beef O'Brady's of Granger, where game time meets family time at the corner of State Road 23. More Leprechaun Lunch on and Sharply right after this. 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. He is former Irish quarterback and baseball player Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Stiers, radio person, sitting in the seat across from Evan Sharpley right now. We've been talking about the Ian Book, Brandon Wimbush quarterback. Wanted to update a couple other injuries real quickly for the Fighting Irish. Brian Kelly did say last night that Drew Tranquil is a full go. After basically seeing
dime package duties
last week.
Way too much. Freaking sprained ankle. Of course he's going to play.
Well, it's a high ankle sprain.
Who cares? You got Mike Bean. He's got some special brace that these guys can wear.
Are you aware of what Bill Parcells did to Julius Jones back in the day?
No.
Before anyone really knew what a high ankle sprain was?
What did you go kick
him? He essentially wrecked his career because he kept going, oh, you just got an ankle sprain. Get out there. And they didn't know that a high ankle sprain could actually cause some lasting damage. Well, nobody knew, you know, high ankle sprain, it's an ankle sprain. Get out there, you whatever. All right, so Drew Tranquil is coming back full go. Mike Bean does have the special brace. He's got the magic brace.
I was just seeing funny stuff on the Twitter sphere. It was a miracle that he's even playing football.
The great Drew Tranquil and his recovering abilities and everything else.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it was a foregone conclusion that man was going to play football.
Yeah, come on. He's been playing with a freaking cast on his
head. He actually has a broken body part that he's already playing with.
That's right.
Now you're going to tell me that he's not going to play because of a sprain. Come on.
He's had two ACLs.
This dude.
Broken bones. Two position changes. Three positions.
And he's married.
And there's that.
He's got it all.
So Drew Tranquil will be back tomorrow.
He's back.
Cast and ankle and possibly the bean brace.
Bubble boy.
Yeah, that's right. And Alizé Mack will also be back tomorrow. He missed last week with a concussion. So those guys will both be back. Good. Want to be sure and note those, because those guys are fairly important as well. So we've been talking about Ian Book, Brandon Wimbush, and of course the news broke yesterday, and in case you were under a rock someplace in Irishville and hadn't heard that Ian Book suffered the rib injury that Brian Kelly is calling an upper body injury from last week. Have you ever had any issues with your ribs, like take a hit there, you know, anything like that, like severe enough that make you more than just kind of cough weird or anything?
No, the jaw couldn't open after a game. That happened. But you'll wear a couple under the ribs, but usually with the flak jacket that you're wearing, it usually takes care of that.
Get the Miles Boykin flak jacket on.
You try to make sure that you're covered. But sometimes, you know, it usually happens when you're throwing, because you sometimes open up some areas to get attacked when you're throwing. But this one is, I mean, it kind of was almost a freak type of deal where, you know, he's falling, getting tackled, a knee, you know, kind of pops in there too. So
yeah. But the one thing, because he does dive head first quite a bit, and I get that if you dive head first, you're going to get more yards. He still came up. It was third and 11. He came up 2 yards short. They ended up converting the first down on the next play on that slant to Chris Fink. But he dives head first quite a bit, Ian Book does. And for preservation's sake,
just run him over.
Just start going feet first a little bit is all I'm saying.
Spend a couple
more. Who are you saying should run him over?
Just spend a little extra time. The training table, eat a little extra food,
bulk up a little bit.
Yeah,
is what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, Ed, what's he playing at right now? Like 200,
probably a little bit more than that.
205.
Yeah.
All right. He should get on the Evan Sharpley level, about 215, and start lowering that left shoulder a little bit.
Great. So he can be like RG3 out on the unemployment line.
Yeah. There we go. There we go.
Keeps taking hits. Go feet first. Okay. So a couple of different things now, if it is Brandon Wimbush tomorrow, and Wimbush hasn't started, of course, since the Vanderbilt game started the first three games. Irish went 3-0, mixed results. Again, the Michigan game plan was a lot different than what we saw, especially, I mean, Things looked a lot different the next week against Ball State when the ball's being thrown downfield and everything else. And then Vanderbilt may be sort of a combination of those two. But one of the many things Brian Kelly was asked last night after practice is, has it helped Wimbush being able to watch Ian Book and the way he gets things out, gets the ball out, the way he distributes the ball in practice and in games?
Yes. Yes. And I think just, you know, that that quickness and just delivering it and moving quickly through, you know, progressions, I think that helps when you're looking at it from his perspective. Yeah.
What do you think about that, Evan?
I don't buy it. I don't know.
I think it's tough because I think it's like either you get it or you don't.
Yeah. I mean, they're two different guys. I mean, two different tempos, two different paces. You know, each guy is going to bring their personality a little bit into the offense. It's not like, you know, Brandon Wimbush is going to be back there taking notes like, okay, Ian's doing this.
You know?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, everyone processes the information a little bit different. You know, what they're seeing, how they're seeing things. Everything changes a little bit. So, you're going to learn a little bit, but, you know, how much you're actually... But the other part is, how is he applying it then? I mean, you can say, yeah, he's doing a great job of watching
this guy. You have to actually be able to do it.
Yeah, well, or have the opportunities to do it, which he hasn't had on Saturdays, and we don't really know how many reps he's getting in practice.
I mean, it's not just about quick release, obviously. It's about...
It's recognition.
The way you see, process,
sure.
Recognize, and how quickly you're able
pre-snap,
to do
post-snap
it.
React, yes.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I mean... There's a quarterback in Dallas right now, and everyone's talking about whether coaching changes need to be made and everything else, but it's the same
thing.
You're
calling for a mass overhaul, I saw.
He just
fired everyone.
There's that, too. But he just doesn't process it quickly enough. That's because now the receiver that he had is going to New Orleans, and everyone, and now he had some age and some injuries and things like that. But the bottom line is it's a different quarterback, and you're either going to look at the throw to Ian or to Miles Boykin in the end zone last year. Miles Boykin was far from wide open, but Ian Book threw it to him and let him get the ball. We just didn't see that kind of thing with Brandon Wimbush.
Ian's putting it wherever he wants right now.
Yeah. So the question now, the natural question is, does the game plan change if Brandon Wimbush is the quarterback?
I vote yeah, change it.
Well, I mean, you're still going to run the traditional offense that we have. I mean, I don't think you're going to look at it and say, well, that's really different. But we're going to feature, you know, obviously, the things that the quarterbacks do well. I mean, both of them have their own skill sets. And, you know, we've said this from day one, is that when they were both vying for the starting position, the offense is still going to be the same, but we'll feature some play calls that fit their skill set, and we would do the same on Saturday if one was in over the other.
And they're both very good runners.
They both can run, and both of them, you know, clearly have a great understanding of the offense. So this isn't about, you know, one knows the offense better than the other. They both have a great understanding of the offense. So all your checks, all the things that are needed within your offense, you're not missing a beat here. You don't have to shorten the playbook in any fashion.
Evan Sharpley?
Yeah. I mean, this should be specifically structured to Brandon Wimbush. And I don't think it was early on. There was so much focus on he's got to be a pocket passer. This is what we want for our offense. When this dude, 14 touchdowns running last year, how many red zone opportunities did he have? He didn't have any opportunities because he wasn't in the game when they got into the red zone.
Right.
So structured around his strengths, let him move around, let him run, feature that, and tee him up with passes that he knows he can be successful with. Get rid of the bubbles, get rid of the wide receiver screens, get rid of any of the short passes, hammer home the intermediate, let him take some shots downfield, and if nothing's there, he's going to create, he's going to improvise and run. More designed runs, too. Run the option. Let's go triple option. Let's do that.
Well, Here's what I would lean toward, because now, as was mentioned in one of the previous sound bites that we had from Brian Kelly with Jack Nolan talking to him, there was no Dexter Williams in the first three games of the season. We've seen what a difference he can make. He's their leading rusher right now. He's picking up blitzes a lot better. Jafar Armstrong is also very good. They complement each other well. Remember the USC game plan last year coming out of the bye? Two back sets, something we really haven't seen any of with Brandon Wimbush. Josh Adams ran for 191 yards in that game. Wimbush ran for 106. Tony Jones Jr. had 37, not a huge night, but Wimbush also threw two touchdown passes. Adams ran for three touchdowns. Wimbush ran for two. I mean,
there's a lot of misdirection, a lot of movement, a lot of guard pulls, tackle pulls. I mean, they used two, you know, top 10 draft picks in McGlinchey and Nelson, and whether it was kickout blocks or getting them pulling to the opposite side to create some gashes at the line of scrimmage. I liked that idea.
This offensive line is still suited to do that stuff. We just haven't seen any of it.
The mold that Harry Hiestand recruited has been guys that are athletic and can move. I mean, we're not talking about ginormous linemen that are stationary. I mean, we got guys that can move. I mean, look at Mike McGlinchey in the game last weekend. I mean, I think he pulled around the right side and sprinted for 40 yards. I mean, this is a 6'8 man, and Notre Dame has those types of athletes on the offensive line. So that may be an option. I think it would be a mistake to try to run the Ian Book type of style offense, which it almost felt like.
I agree.
I felt like, I mean, and if that's your offense and that's your style and your MO and that's what Chip Long is trying to accomplish, I don't think I wouldn't fault him for trying to get that done with Ian Book or with Brandon Wimbush early on in the season. But then it almost felt like it was, we're trying to take, you know, a square and fit it into a circle.
But
wait, is that right?
Square peg in a round hole.
There we
yes.
go. All right.
You got it. So, I mean, you're playing more to Brandon Wimbush's strengths if you do that. What misdirections, two backs, and you're putting him in situations where he doesn't have to be a 70% passer, where he can both use his legs, take away some of the aggressiveness of Florida State's front, because the strength of their defense is in their front seven, not as much in the secondary, but it's not about continually just trying to go deep against that secondary. It's trying to put him in situations that are going to let him capitalize and find the right spots to make some of those
and
throws.
And I think every throw needs to be play action. Every throw. Which has
helped Ian Book as well.
Yes, and in my mind, Brandon Wimbush has been the best version as a passer when he's had play action opportunities, because it keeps him in rhythm.
Right.
He does a much better job with his lower half, does a much better job working that sequence up from the ground, and his accuracy goes up when he's throwing those types of rhythm throws with play action.
Now, the final piece of this whole thing is Phil Jurkovec, who has been primarily a scout team quarterback as a freshman. He's seen just one bit of duty this year. He came in at the end of the Wake Forest game, Ian Book's first start. And because of the new NCAA redshirt rule this year, Phil Jurkovec can still play in three more games.
He can start the next three games.
That's right. He can start, theoretically, the next three games. But he has primarily been a scout team quarterback this year. And he's got more reps this week because of the injury to Ian Book, according to Brian Kelly. And so Kelly asked after practice last night, what can Phil Jurkovec do if he's called upon?
Phil's got some, you know, obviously some learning still to do, but he can run our offense. I mean, not the entire playbook, but we're not going to put a guy out there that is lost. He's going to be able to run the offense. He can throw the football down the field. He can run some RPOs. He can run some screen game option. There'll be plenty for you to defend if Phil's on the football field.
Keep it simple. If he plays, keep it simple.
Yeah.
You don't need to run the whole thing. You need to run where he feels. It would be sitting down, and I'm sure, I hope. This has been discussed, that they have a specific Phil package. Here it is. You know, all right, Phil, here are your plays. Let's get good at these 10 to 12 plays.
Because you kind of have to if
it's
you're...
Yeah, you don't need to run all 80 to 100 plays you have in your playbook. You know, that it just needs to be get really good at we're going to have 3 to 5 runs, we're going to have 3 to 5 passes. Now we may be able to doctor them up and go different personnel packages, or we can go motion here to get to this formation. All of those things are that's the beauty of football, but let's not try to muddy the water for a guy who probably from a mental standpoint, is still swimming a little bit and learning a new offense and adjusting to a college approach. Give him 10 to 12. Get really good at those 10 to 12. Make sure he feels comfortable if he does have to play.
It is 12:44. We'll take a timeout. Coming back, regardless of who's going to play tomorrow, what are they going to be wearing tomorrow? There's been a lot of green talk out in the last couple of weeks.
I've heard somebody tell me of it. An Irish fan out in Hawaii, Corey Pullen, he is not watching the game because of the green jerseys.
Really?
Yeah, he's worried.
All right, well, we'll get to that next. We will get to that next. Notre Dame football Twitter account put out a video last night. It was they've been on point with some of their stuff here in recent weeks. So we'll get to that next. Green jerseys, yay or nay. That's coming up. Sean and Sharply, Leprechaun Lunch, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Sean and Sharply in the Leprechaun Lunch, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Notre Dame and Florida State tomorrow, 7:30 kickoff, a full slate of coverage. 2 o'clock, Brian Kelly radio show. 3 o'clock, game day with Evan Sharply, Mark Edwards, Kevin McDougal, Bobby Brown are his guests. Game day, Sports Beat, Darren Pritchett, Eric and Hanson and I starts at 4. Notre Dame tailgate show at 6, kickoff a little after 7:30. And then Reggie Brooks and I have the post-game show after the game tomorrow night. Don't forget, coming up the day after Thanksgiving, the day before Notre Dame USC, November 23rd, we're taking the Leprechaun Lunch on the road. We'll be out at Four Winds Casino. It's the first of a half dozen or so road shows that we'll have. So you can stop by, join us out there at Four Winds, and get a free gift from WSBT. You'll want to have it. It's not as stylish as what Evan's wearing today. I don't know what all this stuff you've got in. Is that a wooden watch you have?
Yeah, it is. When you buy a watch, they plant a tree.
There you go.
I have not seen a picture of the tree, though. So I don't know if they actually planted it.
I'd like to see that. So Notre Dame's social media account, Notre Dame football and their social media group, they've done a really good job here in the last few weeks. The thing, Exit Sandman out there at Virginia Tech when the Leprechaun was pulling the thing out. And then did you see last week what they did? Chicago's college football team.
No.
You know, because Northwestern has that Chicago's Big Ten college football team. So after Notre Dame beat Northwestern on the social media, it was Chicago's college football team. And there was a skyline of Chicago, and it became gold, and they did like the bat signal with the ND in the air and all that kind of stuff.
Really getting after it.
They are.
So mean.
Doing some first-class trolling. Well, so yesterday, not so much trolling, but there have been like little... this and that for the last couple weeks. A couple weeks ago, someone tweeted at me about green jerseys and hats being sold in the bookstore. All of a sudden, they just showed up and they were saying, hey, so do you think this is going to mean green jerseys for the Florida State game? Well, we hadn't heard anything. And so then last night, the Notre Dame Twitter account, the official Notre Dame football Twitter account, this video shows up. And so I'll kind of set the scene. I've got the audio for it, and I'm going to play it. But it's Brian Kelly sitting in his office working at his computer, and then Drew Tranquil shows up at the door. Think Rudy, basically, the Rudy scene.
Correct.
The fictional Rudy scene where the players come in with the jerseys and put them down on the coach's desk. So here's the audio from that.
Hey, Drew, come on in. Yep.
You got a minute, Coach?
Hey, Drew, come on in.
Just had a quick question, Coach. Listen, we want to wear green jerseys on Senior Day. I think we've earned it.
Drew,
Don't be ridiculous. We wear blue at home.
Yeah, but I think the guys want to wear green.
You're a two-time captain. You're a finalist for the academic Heisman. Act like it.
I believe I am.
So he just put the jersey down on the coach's desk.
Me too, Coach. We want to wear green jerseys for senior day.
That's Sam Mustipher bringing his jersey in and putting it on the desk. Now we get the Rudy music in the background. One more.
Coach, this is for the team.
Tyler Newsom, the other captain.
Wearing a leather Braves jacket.
Yeah, wearing a great, and his hair with the leather jacket. That made the video worth it in itself. So the three captains put their jerseys on Brian Kelly's desk. We want to wear green tomorrow. And then it became official. There was another video today. There was no actual talking. It was just green jerseys in the locker room and some fancy music and all that kind of stuff. So the green jerseys are happening. What do you think, Evan?
They look good. I like them.
Do you think that it's good that they're doing it ahead of time?
Instead of being a surprise?
Not like what happened at Boston College a few years back. And
I don't know. Just wear green all the time. How about that?
Just do it all the time?
Yeah, let's go one whole year of green. I'll take it one step further.
That wouldn't be bad. I'd rather have green next week at the Shamrock Series myself.
Well, yeah. We're going to see how those pinstripe pants look on the field. Very interesting. Hopefully someone hits a double, you know, rounds first base, this is second.
Derek, Jeter.
Green all the time. And since the team could figure it out that they're like, you know what, Coach, as a team we decided we're gonna wear green.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we can just all get on the same page every home game, just leave green towels on everyone's chair, and then put shirts there too?
I'm all for
Why
it.
Why not?
I'm all for it.
Kelly Green out for every home game.
I don't think green's going to be too visible in the stands tomorrow because everyone's going to be bundled up.
Give them 3XLs and let them put them over their parkas.
All right. Here's a shirt you'll never be able to wear again. Enjoy. And wave your towel while you're at it.
Please wave your towel.
Say thanks to Evan Sharpley on your way out of the stadium.
Yes.
Durham Pritchett, WSBT Sports Director, is with us.
I just want to interrupt for a second. Coach Kelly did an exclusive interview with The Observer.
Yes.
Right.
You guys know about this?
I had heard about it, but I haven't had a chance to read it.
Okay. Briefly.
Yeah. I'll just reference a couple of things really quick. Kelly did say Brendan Wimbush will make his first start, so we know that.
Okay.
Book's rib injury didn't involve an internal injury, and that it is not expected to linger into next week's matchup with Syracuse. And Kelly was quoted as saying, quote, he got kneed. This is really much more of a rib injury, but as you know, when you're talking about a rib injury, there's a grade that can go from broken ribs to bruised ribs to internal injuries. So from this perspective, if he had severe kidney issues, that's 4 to 6 weeks. We're not dealing with that. We think he'll be prepared to play next week. We're very confident that if everything continues to move in the direction it has up to this point, that he'll be able to play against Syracuse, end quote. But again, he confirmed to the Observer that Wimbush will start tomorrow.
All right.
There you go.
So it sounds like, based on hearing that it's more like a pretty severe rib bruise, if I'm hearing that correctly. None of us are doctors, so
that's a good guess.
And we don't have braces, so okay.
Get on the field, Ian.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Says the guy who only had the jaw injury. Come on.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's easy for me to say what I say when I'm just sitting right here. I haven't been hit in a while.
It's easy for all of us, right? Okay, so we have more official word. It's going to be Brandon Wimbush tomorrow and not Ian Book.
And I think it went
this
on
was
to
in the
say,
Observer. Is
it
that
went
right?
on to say, too, I believe, this is what we kind of touched on earlier, is that Brandon Wimbush said that he hadn't taken any or very few snaps at quarterback, specifically said at quarterback. So I don't know where he would be taking snaps other than that position. But
Yeah, he was quoted in the Observer, just the part that I have. Wimbush said, quote, I do agree I'm better now. I've taken it personally over the past 6 weeks to kind of improve my game, and you really get to do that from a different perspective when you're the backup. I think I've done the little things and focused on the little details and fundamentals of playing quarterback to get me to where I am today, so hopefully that shows on Saturday, end quote.
All right.
There you go. Eric Hansen has kind of a Cliff Notes version of the Observer article at IndieInsider.com right now.
Yeah, Evan kind of referenced it right when we were sitting down, and we didn't. I hadn't had a chance to see that before I came in. All right, thank you very much.
That's what I'm here for. I'm your gopher.
That's right. Darren Pritchett, producer extraordinaire, hustling out of the studio. All right, we've got a little bit less than a minute. So I like the way they're doing the green jersey, just to kind of put a wrap on that. They're doing it in advance. It's not like some big game day surprise, which sort of tends to alter the psyche.
I just hope it's blue pants.
Blue pants?
Yeah.
All right. Leprechaun Lunch presented by McCree's Italian Bakery, Leckleitner Door, Zolman's Tire and Auto Care, Kurt Outdoor Living, Beef O'Brady's of Granger, Edward Jones, Food Bank of Northern Indiana as well. And of course, presented by Sharply Training. Search for them on any of the social media platforms. We've got a special pregame for Mishawaka football tonight, starting at 7 o'clock kickoff at 8 o'clock regional football between Mishawaka and Lowell right here on 96.1 WSBT South Bend, the sports leader.